Shop the Sherwin-Williams Memorial Day Sale and get 30% off paints and stains May 15th through the 28th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
This is The Bench.
The Bench.
On ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Thursday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with Dell, and we've got a boatload of stuff to talk about, especially basketball. We're going to have Dana Holgorsen join us at 8 o'clock right here on ESPN 97.5. He does his weekly hit. It's brought to you by Chastang, by HR&P, and by Damaris Barbecue. So we'll do that at 8, from 8 to 8:30. Tell your Coug friends and your Coug neighbors to listen to the coach here on ESPN 97.5. And we're going to talk a lot of basketball. As soon as the head coaching job is solidified, we'll have Tillman on here to talk about it. It's going to be Steven Silas, the new Rockets head coach that was broken yesterday by Woj. I believe it was. Was it Woj, Dell, who broke it first?
I don't know. I saw a tweet from Shams, so I'm not sure who got it first.
Ah, man, Shams. Is it Shams or Chams? He gets... He's getting a lot of stuff. Woj is probably like it's like isn't it the Berman versus David Dalotti kind of thing they got going on there?
I didn't know that was a thing.
Well, it used to be a thing, you know.
David Dalotti used to break a lot of stories here,
and Berman hated it whenever. Well, it's more like me versus Berman. I'm breaking the stories left and right now, but he says I always screw him up, so it doesn't matter. He doesn't mind me breaking stories because I usually get about half the story right, so. He really doesn't mind when I get a story. So screw him. Last time I heard, yeah, he screwed that. I was like, F you. Anyway, so you got Steven Silas here, and Daryl Morey brings up an interesting point. I heard the show before us. They were like, man, they got that thing done fast. Holy cow! Daryl Morey says, Woj was like he wanted to have a gap year with his daughters. And he was going to stay at home, and then all of a sudden, man, a week later, you know, dude gets his buyout from the Rockets, and already he's going to be making whatever he's going to be making with Philadelphia. Holy cow. Wow, that was fast. Was it, though? Are you fast? I don't know. Maybe it was in the works beforehand. I don't know. Maybe. No one knows. No one will ever know, but it just seems awfully funny that, you know, just a week later, dude has already got another job, already signed, sealed, and delivered. It may be a hint. The moving trucks were at his house about a month ago. So that may have been an indication that he was headed to Philadelphia. I don't know. Actually, no idea. There were no moving trucks at his house. It's interesting, though, that this is the team that had Sam Hinkie and didn't like him at all, and now you've got Sam Hinkie 3.0, right? Trader Daryl, 77 trades in his time here with the Houston Rockets, and now he's got, I don't know, what do you think he's got? What do you think about, I'm not crazy, Tobias Harris, that's a, We saw a list of bad contracts, and they had a few of them. Tobias Harris being one of the worst contracts in the NBA, and then they've got a guard who can't shoot, and they've got another Joel Embiid who can't stay on the floor. It'll be interesting to see what Daryl does with this team, though.
Yeah, it's interesting because we thought here he was kind of locked into the contracts he gave out, or the contracts he traded for, and what was the next move. And he's kind of entering that situation just with younger players. Ben Simmons is locked in. Joel Embiid is locked in. You throw in an older player like Al Horford, who's locked in, and Tobias Harris, who's just simply not worth it So he has two players who aren't worth the deals they currently have. Al Horford, is he another untradeable asset that Daryl Morey is going to tack on multiple draft picks to get rid of? He's got the same kind of problem in Philly. There are multiple guys who don't fit and multiple guys whose contracts are going to require you to give away things to get them out of there if he wants to get them out of there.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, Daryl ain't scared of giving away things. That's for sure. It'll be interesting to see what he does with that organization. If he's still, you know, going to be as wild and crazy, you know, throwing players around the way he did here. I don't know. We'll see. Steven Silas is an interesting hire. I thought when Tillman was talking about culture that he'd bring in somebody iron fisted. And, you know, I thought Jeff Van Gundy filled that mold. I don't know about Steven Silas. He's been with more than a few teams. He has coached really good guards. You know, he had Steph Curry. He was there. He has been in, you know, Dallas for these last few years. Jason Braddock tweeted out it was a pretty good tweet about NBA rankings, where the Mavericks and where the Rockets were and how similar the two teams are. You know, in field goal attempts, the Mavericks were number one in the NBA. You would have thought it would be the Rockets. Field goals made, Mavericks were number two. True shooting, the Mavericks were fourth. The Rockets were seventh. Two-point field goal percentage, Rockets third, Mavericks fourth. Three-point percentage, the Mavericks were 10th, while the Rockets were 23rd. That's where the Rockets really have to pick it up, because they just, you know, they take a lot of threes. They were number one in threes, but they were number two in threes made, while the Mavericks were number one. The Mavericks were two in three-point attempts and number one in three-pointers made. Percentage of three of points from threes, Rockets were one, the Mavericks were two. So it's a style that's similar to the Rockets. I don't know. Now, that's a Rick Carlisle offense, and they have Luka. You know, it's a little bit different. But they play a similar style of ball, so maybe that's why he was attractive to them. Maybe he was a little bit cheaper. Maybe I would imagine he might have been a little bit cheaper. Jeff Van Gundy might have asked for a little bit more. Although when we looked at Van Gundy's, it was surprising when we looked up Van Gundy's salary with ABC and ESPN. It was surprisingly a lot lower than I thought it was going to be. So I don't imagine Jeff Van Gundy was going to break the bank either. But, you know, Jeff Van Gundy has a lot more experience. You're dealing with a guy with zero experience as an NBA head coach. So that's something that is going to be a little bit concerning. And you just have to wonder whether or not he's a guy that James Harden and Russell Westbrook, with all their years in the league and their clout in the league, whether or not he's going to be able to handle that, and whether or not he's going to be able to handle them. A first-time head coach that can be, especially with a veteran-laden team, as veteran as the Rockets are, it'll be interesting to see whether or not he's going to be able to tell them what to do, and they'll listen.
With Russ and James in the regular season, do we expect them to get off to a bad start if they're healthy? Because that would be my concern. If things go poorly early and maybe there's a potential conflict on the way things need to be done, maybe there's some back and forth that doesn't help the team, but I don't suspect this team is going to get off to a bad start. They're just, unfortunately, I guess fortunately and unfortunately, built for the regular season, because James and his gravity can go get you, can get you 50 wins just because he's James. So this team is the same team it's been the last 3 or 4 years. What are they going to do in the playoffs? Steven Silas is going to be important going forward, and the buy-in is going to be important. But I think Raphael I always forget his last name. What's his last
Stone.
Name? Raphael Stone is going to be important this offseason. How is he going to improve this team to complement the two guys who are locked in?
Right. You would think with a name like Stone, it wouldn't be Raphael. You know what I'm saying?
I understand what you're saying.
I could see if his last name, Raphael Chamaria, or something like that. So Raphael Stone is kind of, we'll have to ask him about that.
It sounds,
how come you got a weird first name?
Sounds made up.
It does. It seems like I want to change my name to Raphael Stone. What? Yeah,
I don't know. But the Steven Silas thing, it's kind, I mean, not that you ever hear a negative thing about a first-time head coach. There's generally always positive reviews. If you're watching NBA Twitter, people seem to think it's a good move, thinks it was his time. But I'm less concerned about him, because if it's the same roster or close to the same roster we saw to end the year, I'm like, what's he going to do?
What's he going to do? Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I agree. He's going to have a hard time just navigating through this thing. And I can certainly see Van Gundy, where maybe, you know, as a first-time guy, like Raphael Stone is a first-time guy, you know, I could certainly see where Van Gundy might, you know, run him over, might be like, get me some bleeping tall guys in here. Let's go. Give me some. I need some guys who can play some deep. I need, you know, and have a much bigger personality and presence in the organization. Because let's face it, Van Gundy's a star. Paul Silas, not. This might be a perfect fit for Raphael Stone, who probably it just like, you know. I mean, he's walking into this thing a lot like Steven Silas is. Where, you know, he's got to gain some respect. And if he's got the head coach running all over him and, you know, ordering him around, Steven Silas, I could certainly see that wouldn't be the case. So maybe this is a good fit. I know, you know, there is somebody that's got a big personality over in that organization, and he's called the owner. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, how these guys, you know, when he says something, it, you know, it'll probably be yes, sir, as opposed to, no, we can't do that. We got to do this or whatever. Tillman is going to be there. I don't think there's any question. Tillman is the main voice over there, and the direction that he leads them is the direction that they're going to go. He's not going to have a general manager or a head coach who will butt heads with him, because they're first time guys, and you know, and that's going to be awfully difficult. That'll be awfully difficult for those guys. So
is it a good thing that Tillman will be the end-all be-all when it comes to basketball decisions here?
Well, you know, I think he's the end-all be-all for basketball decisions anyway, because it is his money. You got to walk in there and say, hey, we're going to do this, or this guy's available. And, you know, I'm sure Daryl walked in there and said, hey, this guy's available. And it was like, nah, we ain't doing that. We ain't spending that money. Or, nah, I don't believe that. I don't believe that's the way. I don't, you know, I'm sure that there have been decisions even by Daryl Morey. And listen, and Mike D'Antoni butted heads with the two of them. We saw that in the negotiations that they had. So, we'll find out, won't we? We'll certainly find out whether or not this is the direction, you know, going. I don't know if you saw the basketball losses, but they lost. They were down 10%. From what they thought that they were going to, or maybe from last year due to the COVID. And, you know, that's a big hit for every owner. Mm-hmm. If it's your moneymaker, hey, what are you going to do? It's certainly not Tillman's. Tillman has the restaurants and whatnot, but he had to leverage the restaurants to buy the team. So, you know, it's all hand in hand for the entire family. So we'll find out how this thing works out. You still got some players. I think you're right. I think they've got to get off to a good start. They're still, the roster is, it's a tough place to be in where Daryl left them, because they don't have many moves available. They don't have any money to, you know, $120 million tied up in your five starters when the salary cap was expected to be, the luxury tax was expected to be $125,000 this year. And, you know, and that was before COVID. So that it'll be interesting to see where this team is, and they'll certainly, if things don't change, they're going to hit the luxury tax, and that's something that I'm sure Tillman is not going to be thrilled about.
And
we'll find out what kind of moves that these guys can make. I certainly don't think that there's a lot that can be done with this roster. So this is the team that we're going to have going forward. And you can't blame Steven Silas for this, and you can't blame Raphael Stone for this. This is where Daryl Morey left this team.
And we'll find out maybe a little later than we thought as far as what a team will look like, at least on the court, because the NBA Players Association is pushing back on the possibility of starting around Christmas Day.
So right. We'll talk about that too. January 18th.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll find out where it is. If you miss out on Christmas Day, though, you're...
Yeah. I understand why you want to do it Christmas Day. But
yeah.
But they've already... The players... what's her name? Michelle Roberts said, we got a lot of things to figure out, and we don't think we're going to be able to figure them out by Christmas. So
right.
We'll see.
714 ESPN 975 713-780-3776. If you want to get in here on ESPN 975 713-780-3776, the number.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.
Hey guys, Lance Zierlein here, and wait until you hear what my friends over at Bespoke Post are up to. Bespoke Post has brand new seasonal box of awesome collection for guys that are guaranteed to upgrade your life. They send guys the very best stuff every month, whether it's gear to upgrade your autumn craft beers or cozy threads, or maybe you just want some clothing for when the temperature dips. No matter what you're into, Box of Awesome has you covered, from style and grooming goods to barware, cooking tools, and even outdoor gear. To get started, go to boxofawesome.com and take the quiz. Your answers will help them pick the right box of awesome just for you. And they release new boxes every month across a ton of different categories. It's free to sign up, and you can skip a month or cancel anytime. Each box costs just $45, but has over $70 worth of gear inside. Get 20% off your first monthly box when you sign up at boxofawesome.com and enter the code BENCH at checkout. That's boxofawesome.com, code BENCH, for 20% off your first box.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776. What are your thoughts? Steven Silas, more than welcome to get in here to talk. How have the... I just saw a... The father-son combinations. We know that JB here didn't work out all that well. He wasn't Musselman. Eric Musselman was a son that took over and was a head coach. Now we got Steven Silas. I think there were five such father-son combinations. I don't know that it's worked out, but we'll see. We'll see what happens. He's been 20 years in the NBA, Steven Silas has. So he has the experience. Let's see. The other ones have been Brendan Malone and Mike Malone. Mike Malone's doing a hell of a job, right?
Yeah.
Bill Musselman and Eric Musselman, Flip Saunders and Ryan, not so good. Bernie actually was 100 games, 99 games under 500 as a head coach, which I didn't realize that. JB was 47 games under 500, which is not too good. And so the only combination that actually – Brendan Malone wasn't very good. He was 29-71, but Mike is pretty damn good, 258 and 249. But lately they've been pretty damn good. So he's turned that around. So that's the only father-son combination that appears to have done anything. We'll see whether or not Steven – can get Paul Silas was 387 and 488.
He took over a lot of bad teams, and unfortunately for him, did not improve them.
Yeah. So what do you think? And we've seen it plenty, and it's worked out. Spoelstra, we see it now in Boston. Head coaches that, of course, he had college. He had a lot of success in college. Head coaches that didn't play in the NBA. I mean, that is a players' league. And, you know, to get the respect, I imagine Spoelstra has it now. But, you know, at the beginning, you know, LeBron wanted him out.
Well, he started, remember, a couple years before with Wade. Right. And he was a guy, when Wade was a rookie, who was, you know, the whole story, video coordinator, all that stuff. So he and Wade kind of grew up in the league together. So he had a backer in Wade as a star player, and also he had the backing of the organization. So those are the two things. Those are the two most important things. Can you get a star on your side, and can the organization tell the players in the roster, I don't care what you guys have issue with, he's our guy. So that is what Steven Silas is going to have. He's going to need James to believe in him. And even if James has some questions about him, he's going to have the organization say, James, figure it out.
Well, that's it. That's it. I think first and foremost, Raphael Stone and Steven Silas are going to have Tillman. Tillman's going to have their back. That if the players come and revolt, if the players come and disagree, that he's always going to have their guys back. And we'll ask Tillman about that. With two first-time guys and such a veteran team, guys with such big personalities and such acclaim, how difficult is that going to be when you've got any kind of issue between the two sides? That's what Tillman's going to have to figure out. So, Lance is with us?
Yeah, I'm here. DSL's down in the neighborhood, so I've been working on all the other turn off, turn on, reset. Nothing's working, so it's got to be neighborhood. By the way, have you covered option B, where James Harden isn't here and you're not going to have all those conversations?
You're still going to have conversations with Russ. You're still gonna...
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. I mean, because you ain't getting rid of that deal. That's for sure.
What are the odds that James is a Sixer now?
Pardon me?
What are the odds that James is a 76er?
I don't know. I don't know that they're going to let Daryl run roughshod on him. I don't know. But especially because you're going to have to take back big contracts. If I'm Tillman, I'm like, no, Daryl. You ain't doing that to us. You know, we're fine with James right here. What are you going to give us, Embiid? Nah, no thanks. What are you going to give us? Some draft picks? You're going to give us Tobias Harris? Nah, no thanks. I mean, if they're smart, stay away from Daryl. he might try to make a move, but unless it's cost cutting, what's the sense? And it can't be cost cutting. Both teams are up against it.
Well, I don't know the cost. I mean, it gives you a chance to reset. I mean,
reset with what?
Cost cutting is one thing, but you can get an expiring contract and get draft picks.
Who's got an expiring contract? Tobias Harris has 3 years left on that deal.
Who does?
Tobias Harris.
No, I said it may take three teams. It may take a three-team deal.
Well,
I mean,
no, but Tillman has said, why would I do that? So nobody will come. I mean, does that make any sense, trading away James Harden for an expiring contract?
Well, you can just keep – sounds like he just wants to keep on going down the road of purgatory, as you call it.
Yeah, it's James Harden purgatory. But James Harden purgatory is better – that's better than John Wall hell.
No, no one's asking for John Wall.
Well, but if you're looking for an expiring contract, what are you going to get?
Well, I mean, what you're going to get is some type of expiring contract from a team, probably multiple expiring contracts.
Name the team, bitch!
I know. I mean, you're going full Patrick Creighton here, but this is not ridiculous that you would take on one player who has some talent, an expiring contract, and get multiple picks to reset. This is your only way to reset. This is your only chance to move in a different direction.
You know what? When Tillman's on with us, maybe tomorrow, because this will be finalized today, you ask him that.
Well, why would I do that when the answer, why would he say he would trade James and it would turn into national news and James would get pissed off?
Right.
I mean, no,
I know.
There's no reason for him to even say that. That's why I have to talk about it with you.
Yeah.
I'm just
you're right.
If you really want to get out of purgatory, this is your opportunity.
This is the opportunity. You're going to be in, instead of James Harden purgatory, you're going to be in Russ and whatever hell, and whoever
and
it is that comes.
A couple years like the Astros, but remember when they won a World Series?
Yeah, but okay, is Tillman, and you know, the Rockets have never been ready to do that. And, oh, by the way, you got to withstand a boatload of losses. You got to withstand a boatload of losses in the seats. You got to withstand a boatload of losses in sponsorships. You're going to have to withstand a boatload of losses on the court.
And I mean, Crane did it.
I'm not sure that Tillman is ready to. I don't know. I just don't. Yeah, it happened there, but Golden State, I can remember, is one team that wasn't any good, and they used high draft picks, and they did a great job, and they put together a dynasty with it. But where else? Philadelphia did it. How's that worked out for them?
But yeah, I mean, you got to be smart. You can't draft a bunch of crybabies like Embiid.
Right.
You can't have one of your top pick break his wrist and never come back the same.
Look, Markel Fultz, Nerlens Noel, Ben Simmons, and Joel Embiid. I mean, all top picks, and only two of them worked out, and the two of them that worked out hasn't produced anything.
You forgot about Jahlil Okafor, too.
Oh, and Jahlil Okafor. Holy crap.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
I'd also say none of those picks were considered like bad picks at the time. I think they've had, you know, Markel Fultz is bad luck. Embiid has had injuries, and frankly, I just don't think has the DNA. Well, I'm not trying to become the 76ers. All I'm telling you is you always complain about the James Harden purgatory. This is your only way out. You'll have a willing trade partner in Daryl Morey, and even if you have to make it a three-team trade, if you're really serious about it, if you want to get out, this is how you get out. But you don't just step into a championship. There's sacrifices to be made. And if you don't think Tillman's willing to make that sacrifice, then I would get ready for more Euro steps and side steps. And, hey, it's fun watching James. James is a great player. I don't think James is the problem necessarily. I think he's one of the problems, but I don't think anyone around him is good enough. So you can't move those guys.
James isn't the problem necessarily. It's the Russ contract that's the problem.
Well,
And that ain't going anywhere. That ain't going anywhere. So, I mean, I don't think trading James really solves the problem that you have here. I think you got to – you know what? You're going to have an expiring contract in 3 years, and it's Russell Westbrook's. And if you know what? Instead of losing all that time – You got to wait to build that up. You got to wait to get some draft picks back, which you're not going to have for quite a while.
I mean, I think what you're telling me is literally don't do anything for the next 3 years. You won't hardly have a draft pick over the next 3 years. I'm sorry, that just doesn't sound great to me.
I think
people are going to tune out on this basketball.
But here's the deal, Lance: is the situation that you're in that he's left you in. I mean, this ain't the Texans where you're 1 year of no draft picks and then you can reap and you can get out of, you know, contracts and have dead money. This ain't the same situation. You're in cap hell.
That's why I'm suggesting the potential to make a move. Because if you don't, you're in the worst kind of hell.
But there's
no chance to make it very much different.
Except if you do that, you get an expiring contract. What can you do after that? Because you don't have any draft picks.
Well, I mean, any move you make would have to do with getting multiple draft picks or young, good talent. Somebody who has a very good young player who wants a veteran, really good player for a chance to win now.
Unfortunately,
you have to go look at.
But here's another deal.
None of that stuff
matches up salary wise.
I mean, that's why you have to have multiple players to match James to within 15%.
Right. You got it. Well, James is the big goal. A third team, though? Okay, so you put together with a third team. What does that third team get from Philadelphia? That's a lot. Do you know what? They're in hell like the Rockets are, I think.
Yeah, but I don't think people will look at Embiid and Simmons and Tobias Harris and these guys as completely useless like you do. I mean, they've made playoff games. Go look at their numbers. They're not just a bunch of slappies.
No. But again, instead of James Harden purgatory, you're in Joel Embiid purgatory.
Well, I don't think people would see Joel Embiid as purgatory. They would see, hey, that guy is what 20? How old is he? He's not even 25, right? Right. We know his issues, but people would see that is a legitimate, with all the caveats that come with it, if he's healthy, if he's motivated, all the things that come with it, that's a guy who can change a franchise because of how great he is when he's actually on the floor. So if you're the Sixers and you're trying to find a way to get James Harden on your team, I don't think it'd be that hard of a sell to get up, get out from under Joel Embiid as part of a three-team deal.
That's an all-star.
Yeah, people would take him. There's no question about that. People would take Ben Simmons because you know what people will say about the Philadelphia 76ers? You guys have been a disaster building a basketball team. You have not maximized the potential of your two best players. We can do that here. That's a trap a lot of people fall into, but I bet you around the NBA they would say, the Sixers don't know what they're doing. We know what we're doing.
Yeah. The key to that whole thing is Joel Fuller being on the floor.
Yeah, Joel Embiid is 26 years old. That's a guy who you could trade for probably outside the top five players in the NBA that you can rank him. That guy's the guy people would trade for.
And Joel Embiid so far has played in 31 games, 63, 64, and this year 51. So you gotta eat that as well. You gotta understand that Joel Fuller is not gonna be there a lot.
People will eat it because of what they believe he can do if he ever could finish a year, which is always gonna be the question with him.
Right. 731 ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776. I gotta check his heart. That's what I need. Check his heart, Lance.
CoreMed Solutions. There has been articles that have come out lately where doctors are saying that people who have, and especially athletes, or if you are someone who works out a lot, that you need to have your heart checked if you've had COVID. Because COVID can work its way into your heart with myocarditis. Even with very mild or even asymptomatic people, you can have issues with myocarditis. And what that is it's – I let Dr. Burkholder, the cardiologist, explain it to you. But, you know, it's basically, I guess, like an infection that comes from the virus – and that's something that could actually be lethal. I mean, it really can for certain people. It's something you need to get checked out. But it's treatable. I don't want you to think it's not treatable. It is treatable. You can get better. You just need to diagnose it. And the easiest way is to go get an echocardiogram where they take a look at your heart and see, and they can tell very, very quickly on the echocardiogram. They've got a stress test. They've got the EKG. They can tell about your wiring. There's two or three different things that can be a problem with your heart. One could be the wiring. That's with Hank Gathers. When he passed, it was a wiring issue. They can find abnormalities from birth or because it's hereditary, or they can find myocarditis, but they can get you treated, and they can get you on the road to recovery. But you've got to get your heart checked out. The heart issues can happen with anybody at any time, and it's best to get it checked out with a company who now is a standalone company that allows you to pay $200 even with no insurance and get your heart scanned and checked out. And with insurance, of course, they'll work with you on that as well. It's not a problem. CoreMedSolutions.com, let them come out to your business with their mobile unit. They can check out an entire fleet of workers for you in a day. CoreMedSolutions.com.
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 98.7.
Wait, what?
I said 98.7, that's my show.
Let's try this one more time, okay?
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 97.5 FM.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Wow. Mike Fiers is a free agent. You want him here? What about picking up Mike Fiers?
Yeah, I'd make him an offer just to scare him.
Yeah, let's see. You know what? No, the problem.
Like, seriously, can you imagine? Mike gets a phone call from his agent. Hey, what's up? Hey, man, what's up, dude? Mm-hmm. You got anybody else? Is there anyone else you want me to turn in today? What's up, man? Do you have any offers? Yeah. Actually, the Astros have made a pretty decent offer. They want to pay you $4 million a year. What?
Mm-hmm.
No. Mm-hmm. Was there any amount of money, Mike? No, it's a trap to get me back because they're going to beat me up. Okay, so you want me to turn it out? What if they come with $6.5 million a year? No. They made an offer?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Mike.
I'm scared. So the NBA's worst contracts came out yesterday. Number one with a bullet is John Wall. He's never on the floor, and he's just making – that's all he does is make cake. Apparently, he's coming back this year, you guys, so better watch out. Better not cry. Russell Westbrook has the second worst contract in the NBA. Got 3 years left at 41, 44, and 47. That is unloadable. Tobias Harris is third. There's a tangled web weaving here. Tobias Harris is third. Al Horford, also a 76er, is fourth. 27, 27, 26. Fifth is Kevin Love. Sixth, Eric Gordon. With 4 years left on that deal. Although the last year is a team deal at 20.9 that they certainly won't pick up. That's a team option. So they got 54.7 left to pay Eric Gordon. And then there's Andrew Wiggins, DeAndre Jordan, Harrison Barnes, Blake Griffin, Draymond Green, Chris Paul, who that's another contract that was given out by Daryl Morey. He's 12th with the Thunder. Gary Harris, Clint Capella, another contract given out by Daryl Morey.
Holy crap.
16, 17, and 18 left with Atlanta. And then Aaron Gordon, with just 2 years left. Now, there's an expiring contract, Aaron Gordon, at 18 and 16 million left on that deal. I mean, you'd have 2 years of him, but that would be less than you're paying for if you could somehow get that contract. I mean, he's not totally useless. And you're only spending 18 and 16 a year on the dude. Somebody
Let's
said
just face it, it's just going to be the same thing for the next 3 years, only with fewer wins.
Unrated Mess said Gordon and House to the Wizards, Beal to the Rockets, three teamer that says Harden to Philly for Embiid and Tobias Harris to Washington.
It's not bad.
No. I mean, that you could see how that might work
out. It's
an
instant upgrade for Washington.
What do you think the goal is for the Rockets, new head coach, new general manager? Like, we know what Tillman will say to us. It's about winning a championship. So, but what is the actual ambition? Is it to tear it down to the studs if you can and start fresh because there are money, financial concerns, and it's a team kind of landlocked into a 4 or 5 seed? Or will the goal to be to win? Because all the stuff we're talking about right now is a team trying to tear it down to the studs. And is that something Tillman can suffer through?
Well, is it possible to tear it down to the studs? I don't think it is.
When we're mentioning, now this is all us being trade guys, but when you're talking about Aaron Gordon, you're talking about a guy who's a 3 or 4 in terms of his position, and he's okay. He's an okay player. He's fine, but he is a clear downgrade on the roster, and you're going to bring in more clear downgrades to try to get out from under, as we keep coining it, James Purgatory. So what is the goal for the Rockets at this point? What do we think it is? To become the Kings?
Tread water. I mean, what goal can you possibly have? Because you've got James, the 1926. You've got James for 3 more years, and you've got Russ for 3 more years, both at supermaxes. What can you possibly?
And by the way, you're asking an inexperienced guy to do all this. You're asking a guy who doesn't have the experience of trying to dig himself out of a situation he didn't create.
Right. Somebody asked, "Would you rather? Who do you want making the trades? Look at the guys making the trades right now. Who do you want? Raphael Stone or Jack Easterby?"
Oh. I guess Raphael Stone.
Yeah.
I don't even know him.
I don't know him either, but he's been sitting there behind Daryl for all these years. He must have learned something.
Dude, Raphael Stone at least hasn't done the things Jack has done.
Right. I don't think Raphael Stone had a huge coup to take over the job. I don't believe that happened.
You know what's interesting about Daryl with contracts? I think he doesn't mind giving out contracts that are beyond value because he just knows he can move people. Like, his whole career, he's just like, oh, we can move this Capella contract. We can move this. We can move that. But then when you look at a league, and who had that list? Is that just some offshoot sports knot or something, or is that a real place?
Yeah. I don't know who. Let me see. Yeah. It's,
I don't know if it's a real
the score. The score had it.
Okay, well, but yeah, I don't know if that's considered. But no, let's just say it's considered a
well, it's not too inaccurate.
No, let's just say it's a reputable article, right, or whatever. I think that kind of speaks to the fact that Daryl, like, he just doesn't really care because he feels like he can move those contracts at all. It is interesting that you're looking at Houston and Philadelphia. Is Philadelphia already had, you know, they're already on the list without Daryl. So it's an awful lot of players from Houston to Philadelphia on one list.
Yeah. No,
both
right.
Formerly of Houston.
Right. Daryl gave out three of those deals. And then and Sam Hinkie, the disciple, gave out some of the other ones. So
yeah,
it is interesting that Philadelphia got out of Sam Hinkie and couldn't. And then
he wasn't there very long.
No, Sam. I mean, it's very interesting that, well, we don't like Sam Hinkie. Let's get Daryl. What? I mean, that's where Sam Hinkie learned everything.
Well, I think they wanted the real. They didn't want Daryl White. They wanted Daryl, and act like Daryl is some kind of just plague on an organization is not accurate either.
No, it's not. It's certainly not. No, Daryl.
I mean, the guy wins 50 plus a season every year.
Yeah, and he had the second best record and could have won if not for a hamstring. He could have won it all. I mean, no, Daryl is good at what he does. He's a super trader, though. I mean, he is going to be. And maybe they want that. Maybe they see what they've got there. Forget the process. See, their process was like the Astros process, only it didn't work. It just didn't work. The Astros process worked because they had somebody that was pulling the trigger. Now, baseball has a lot more, has a much bigger pool to choose from players. I mean, what are you going to do when Markelle Fultz is the consensus number one pick?
Yeah, and he got hurt. I mean, he didn't come back from his injury effectively. We can't just ignore the fact that he jacked up his entire shot. He wasn't
a one number one overall pick. Well, but that was the case that year. Unfortunately, you got the number one pick when Markelle Fultz was, the best,
one of the five best players in your starting lineup.
Yeah, but it should have been a big red flag that he didn't win in college.
Yeah. I mean, I'd have to go back and look at who else was in that draft. But Dell, out of all those picks that they had, I don't remember any of them where I was thinking, ooh, that's not. I always thought Nerlens Noel was a little bit sketchy, but, it didn't seem like a bad pick at the time.
Yeah, Markelle Fultz was the clear choice as far as draft Knicks people were concerned as the number one pick overall. Jason Tatum had looked great at Duke. He looked like a potential star, and they had the option of drafting him instead, and they didn't. So, and we've seen how that's turned out. Jason Tatum's been to two conference finals, and Nerlens Noel is now in Orlando.
Yeah, I mean, Lonzo Ball was the second pick. Josh Jackson, De'Aaron Fox. I mean, there were some better players. Markelle Fultz, I don't know that he was the consensus number. He was the no brainer number one because they didn't win in Washington.
Well, I don't remember another name other than Tatum being a possibility because of his body type and what he had done.
Right.
But in that draft, at least leading up to it, maybe things got a little tighter as far as who to take because of Tatum. But as the entire season, it was Fultz, 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 Fultz. That's the guy. I don't remember another one, anyone overtaking him until maybe late in the process. And the Celtics are right. They took the right guy.
Yeah, they took the right guy, that's for sure. After Lonzo went to the Lakers. How about, okay, so if you re...
And no one wanted to take Lonzo back then.
If you redo that draft, Donovan Mitchell is in that draft. Bam Adebayo's in that draft. Kyle Kuzma is in that draft. And Jason Tatum, I would imagine Tatum would be the number one pick, and maybe Donovan Mitchell...
I don't know. Bam Adebayo might... When you get a big who's that talented, he might be fighting for it, too. Spider Mitchell, Bam, and Jason Tatum are the three that's up there. I don't know. I mean, Bam is all of a sudden, he's getting a ton of love lately. He's really come on.
Yeah, but I'd take Jason Tatum.
Well, as long as Jason Tatum doesn't have to challenge Bam at the rim in a playoff game, you can take Tatum. Otherwise, I'm taking Bam.
Okay. Well, one play does not make...
Yeah, one of the best blocks in NBA history. Thank you. Yeah. Won a playoff game. I'm taking Bam.
It wasn't LeBron. Slow down.
Whatever. Oh, it was more difficult.
It wasn't LeBron.
I understand the moment. It was still a conference playoff final, and it was more difficult.
It was an NBA final that won the title.
No, Kyrie won the title.
No, that block won the world.
I'm not taking it away from LeBron, but I'm talking about as far as physical difficulty.
Slow down, Bam.
Bam,
get off
better
Bam's
block.
Jock.
Don't get upset because...
Get off Bam's junk.
No, he's on my team. Why would I get off his junk? You love all the Astros. You're on their junk all the time.
No. No, never. And I would never jump on a player's junk.
What about
like
Brad Peacock?
That's my guy. That's my guy. Don't be talking about Brad Peacock. 747 ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Was Raphael Stone related to Josh Stone? Because she was pretty hot back in the day. You know, I'd never seen her, and I saw her in a special the other day, and he's right. She was going pretty good. You never know. I mean, who'd have thought that Glenn Davis and Hannah Davis were, right? So, I mean, he's a handsome man, but, man, his niece is, that's Derek Jeter's wife, so you know she's going to have to be strong. She's going to have to bring it. We've got, who's on the phone there, Dale? Okay, George wants to get in here and talk a little Texans. What do you say, George?
Yeah, I just want to point out that Biden is going to win, and the Trump cult will be done. It's going to be Biden 2020.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Well, that wasn't what he said he was going to talk about, but...
Well, that was nice. That was good. I'm pretty sure there's a political show that...
Well, not... Yeah.
He did sound a little like it puts the lotion on its skin.
I just want to say that Biden is going to win.
The Trump cult will be over.
The Trump cult will be over.
All right, thanks.
I mean...
Is he a great big fat person?
Yeah. I don't know what George looks like. I appreciate George listening and calling in. I mean, yeah. 740 might be
a
more appropriate place for that. Actually, probably not. Isn't that a conservative station?
Yeah, no. What? But they're... No.
Are they? I don't know. I don't listen.
And Michael Berry, isn't there a guy after Michael Berry or before Michael Berry that's a real liberal on there?
Are they trying to be fair and balanced over there?
I think so. I think that there is. I think he is. He's real controversial. He's real. He's a lawyer.
I don't
know. He likes to beat people up or something.
Where does
Lance? Lance.
I don't know. He says he's still. It says he's on, but I haven't heard from him, so I'm not sure where he is.
I don't think he's there. Isn't there a guy on 740 now that's a liberal?
I don't know. I'm looking at their lineup right now because Michael Berry is coming up in the next 8 minutes.
Okay.
So. After him, is it Gordon? No, is it Rush Limbaugh's after Michael Berry?
Okay.
Then it's Sean Hannity. Then it's Michael Berry replay, I guess, and then Mark Levin. So no.
Oh.
No. That whole liberal
guy. Kind of lawyer here that's like a real.
Is it Gordon Deal? Does that sound familiar?
Gordon Beal?
Deal. Gordon Deal. But he's not a local show.
DEAL?
Yeah.
Oh, he's not a local show?
No. I don't know. Rush is right after Michael Berry. Rush.
No, this is a local guy. And yeah, he's a liberal. I guess he's not. Maybe he's on 950 or something. No one knows. No one can tell right now. Because we got Dana coming up, University of Houston fans. We got Dana coming up, so we'll talk to him about the big win at Navy. And then we'll talk to him about playing UCF. That's a big game this weekend. And something to do this weekend. It's going to be nice. What do you think of... Oh, he's on 950. Yeah, that dude's on 950. Look up 950's lineup. He should call him 950 AM Houston. He should call that dude because he is, and like he's like a lawyer that beats people up.
That's
who are you talking about? Big Angry?
Big Angry, yeah. What's his name?
Charles Adams. I don't know that he beats people up.
Well, I saw like he doesn't he isn't he he's aggressive, isn't he?
Well, his picture is aggressive. I'm looking at his picture. He's got the beard and a grimace on his face.
Yeah,
his nickname is Big Angry.
Well, there you go.
He follows, according to our source here, apparently he's more down the middle. Not necessarily a liberal, but more right down the middle.
No, yeah. No, he actually identifies, he self-identifies as a Republican.
Oh, so.
But he's no nonsense, like, if something's stupid, he calls it out as stupid, period.
Oh, so he is, what's his name?
Charles Adams.
Charles Adams.
He's not for nonsense. Like, he's not for.
Right. He seems like a no nonsense guy.
If his party's being stupid, he says, my party's being stupid. If your party's being stupid, he says that too.
I don't think you're allowed to do that anymore.
What would he think of this show? What would he think of this show with our stupidity?
Well,
I think he likes it. I think he listens.
He does?
I'd be happy to hear you calling him a lunatic.
No, I saw some kind of video with him in it or something. Or no, he tweeted something, and I thought, man, I'm scared of that dude.
He is confrontational.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. One of them was some guy. Oh, I saw one, too, where somebody was honking or yelling at him or something.
Yeah.
When he was walking down the sidewalk with his wife. Is that what you're talking about?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, I saw it, too.
I
don't know what that was about.
Man,
I can't remember what that was about. But he's friends with a bunch of Houston rappers, like Zero, Bun. I met him because I went to lunch with Bun to talk about podcast stuff, and it was me, Bun, Isaiah Carey, and you remember, Can I Leave a Card for You? Also known as Bug in the Mouth Guy, Channel 26. You know Isaiah Carey.
Yeah. I know.
Anyway, and then
he was on the driveway.
Yeah,
Arian
Can
Foster's.
I leave a card for you? No, you can't leave a card for me.
Right, get out of here.
Charles Adams, or Big Angry, is a former police officer and judge.
You see, I told you he was angry, and he's on from midnight to 1 a.m.
Yes,
I mean they gave him the best time slot.
I don't, maybe that's the only time he has. He has other things to do.
Wow.
Oh, he still practices law, and then he. He's a big foodie around town. He angry is he's a good dude. He like I said, he does the show with Zero, the Mo City Don.
Why don't you get him on the show? You guys are buds.
Why? Why is he coming on the show? What did I miss?
Because we just had a caller that said that Biden's going to win,
and the Trump cult will be over.
The Trump cult is over.
Oh, he just thought. Oh, I got you.
And John said maybe there's another station you could call for that stuff.
Yeah.
And he called Charles Adams a liberal, which probably will upset him, but
Well, that's
the guy just did.
No, John.
No,
did.
I did.
John
it. See, did. He's oh. got a. He's gonna have to brand better because I thought he was a liberal.
No, I think he's. I think he's just more. I think he's more moderate right. I think I don't want to speak too much for him, but I think Charles is just a guy who you wish all politics would be like. Whenever your side does something dumb, you call it out. Whenever the other side, you know what I mean. You just,
yeah.
You're not for stupid stuff.
Not, yeah. We don't have time for...
We don't have shenanigans.
We don't have time for this balanced view of things. I need you to be extreme on one side or the other.
Poland?
Yeah. We're not going to have... Yeah. What? Use common sense? No. If something is stupid, but it's Republican, we're behind it.
Or, depending on what side you want...
Yes. If something is really stupid, but it's the Democrat, we're behind it.
Yeah, and if it's dumb on the Republican side, it's stupid.
Yeah.
How scary are the commercials right now? Right now. What's his name? Cole Carney, Sri Presti Cole Carney is too dangerous for this country. He wants to go straight to Marxism. And then the next commercial is Troy Nails's. Well,
but Troy Nails,
he's catching up.
He's had some issues.
No, Troy Nails has a lot of issues. Man, dude was fired from every job he's had.
I mean, I will say this. Some of the commercials like, you know, like Wesley Hunt, you know, Hunt stands for this.
No, Wesley Hunt said, Wesley Hunt is, I back President Trump. I back President
Look
Trump.
At
they
me.
Play I'm, that like 12 times. No,
I don't really have any viewpoints on things. Just let you know I back Trump. You know what we can do? We can ask Dana Hoekstrom who he's voting for. Come
That's
up next.
Right. We'll do that on the other side. But first, we're going to talk about who's sponsoring the Dana Holgorsen Show, and it's Chastain Ford, along with Damaris Barbecue and HRP. But Chastain Ford says, listen, come get some. Hey, Cougs, come get some truck. I was just talking to a guy yesterday, as a matter of fact, Rob, and he went and he decided to get a different kind of car, so that was fine. But he went in there and he said it was unbelievable. And he sent a buddy of his to Chastain Ford, said, you got to go there. This place is awesome. And he didn't even buy there. He wanted to get a Cadillac, an Escalade. So but I'm going to tell you what. The Expeditions, I got me an Expedition. I got to tell you, it is probably the nicest vehicle I've ever had. And Dana has the Sport, and the Explorer Sport, and he said, holy cow, it has the luxury, and yet it's sporty. It is just fantastic. So it depends on what you want. And then another buddy of mine, Tim, he said, I need to go. I need a pickup. I said, dude, the STX right now, $28,999. Are you kidding me? It's $499 per month with nothing down? Are you kidding? It can't be any better. And they're going to, excuse me, $29.99 is the sale price, or $499 per month. And it just cannot get any better than Chastain Ford. They're going to do the best deal that you can possibly get. And they're going to work forward to the max. And they're going to make sure that you get your payments inside of what you got to have, all at ChastainFord.com. You can do it all online, and you don't have to worry about them trying to upsell you, because you can do the whole thing online. They'll deliver the car to you. Or if you want to go to the dealership, I'd like to touch it, I like to feel it, I like to drive it, I want to do all of those things, you can do that as well. All at Chastain Ford, ChastainFord.com. It's on 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead, just 5 minutes from downtown, Chastain Ford.
Stay up to date with the latest innovations hitting the city of Houston by visiting InnovationMap.com or follow them on any of your social media platforms. Just search Innovation Map.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save